getting more high-tech all the time. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen.
St. Paul met the living Lord on the road to Damascus and had the experience of the living Christ in his life. St. Paul was a spiritual genius. St. Paul loved the Lord and was so happy when churches were founded in Christ's name. And he was a detective. He was the Sherlock Holmes of spirituality. He looked for faith. He celebrated faith. And he looked at how that faith came about. Where did it come from? And he saw a tremendous faith in his young follower, his young disciple, Timothy. He sees a sincere faith. It's true. He sees the real thing. You know when you see a person has real faith. When you have real faith, you know it. You know it. He saw that in Timothy. A faith, a trust, also that because St. Paul knew Timothy's family, he saw that it lived in his grandmother, Lois. She was a woman of that sincere, wonderful faith. And his mother, Eunice, he saw that wonderful faith. And now St. Paul sees that faith in Timothy. And St. Paul didn't say that Eunice or Lois forced this faith on Timothy, that they argued with Timothy, that they threatened Timothy that if he didn't believe, he wouldn't go to heaven. No. No. He saw that in his grandmother and mother, Timothy was shown an example of faith. His faith was more caught than taught. Do you remember when you first yourself had the experience of the living Christ in your life? When you knew the taste of the kingdom of heaven, where you knew there was a love, there was a harmony in the world, there was a community that you didn't see in the world, but you knew that was from God and that God's love was breaking in. When you thought life could be different, that the kingdom of God was real, and no matter all the bad news you experience and see, this was the old age, because a new age in Christ was coming. Did you get that experience ever? The time and place when your heart was, like St. Paul said, kindled, rekindled in you, and your heart was on fire for the Lord, and you felt the strength and power and love and goodness of the Lord in your heart. Where did you see this? Where did you first experience this? Was it your mother, father? Was it in Sunday school, CCD, catechism? Was it in a Sunday school teacher? Maybe it was on a retreat to Lutherland or someplace like that. Or maybe in the middle of a church service. You know, where'd you see it? Because as a Christian, we are also detectives to see it, to celebrate it, and to share it. We know where I saw it in spades. Last night, I saw it. I saw people in this church that did a wonderful, exhausting thing out of pure love and care. I saw people who spent days getting things ready, setting tables, making spaghetti sauce and meatballs, and people organizing, and all for a celebration of a loved brother in Christ, Bruce. And when the people were there last night, there was, the fragrance, first of all, the wonderful smells, and there was talk, and there was laughter, and it was exhausting, but it was wonderful because people were experiencing the breaking in of the kingdom of God. And not only that, but people were generous in their support, their prayers, their financial giving to support. I mean, that to me is an obvious way that you, to me, I see like, St. Paul saw in Timothy, and I see in you, the kingdom of God breaking, and a wonderful faith, a wonderful faith. I know many of you slept like babies last night. Some of you are pretty sore today, like me. Don told me, just give him the high sign so in case he dozes off over there, because he worked so hard. And many of you worked so hard, too, to make this wonderful, wonderful, magical time happen. And to me, when you have laughter and love and good food and joy, that's the kingdom of God breaking into our lives. We saw it yesterday. And we look at people who have touched our lives, not only with this great experience, but they nurtured our lives year after year. They, when you were feeling down, or you feeling that this was some kind of myth, or your heart was growing cold, and you were getting despair because the world was coming at you and hurting you, and there was so much problems, somebody gave you that sense that rekindled that faith in your heart, that you remembered the faith, remembered the joy of Christ in your life, and helped you live your life in Christ, growing in trust that God's way was the true way. You know, I grew up in Elwood City at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. There's a beautiful church in Elwood City. And my parents would take me to church. We'd sit right back where Doreen and Joe are, but on the corner over there. Because if the pastor's sermon was too long, or towards, in those days, at the end, the pastor had a long prayer, my dad and I would kind of sneak up because we wanted to get home because there was a certain football team that we wanted to catch the kickoff. That was good. It was good. Of course, the Steelers were bad in those days. Yeah, but was the faith of my parents perfect? No. Were they faithful? Yeah. Were they committed? Yeah. And this faith was more caught than taught. Of course, once the Holy Spirit through my church touched my life through catechism, through Luther League, through the play we had, Here I Stand, about Martin Luther, and we went to different churches and put it on, through that kind of love, the Holy Spirit touched me, and I was a teacher, but I felt a call beyond that, and I went to seminary, and it's, oh, I love seminary. Although when I first got there, my friend and I were shagging balls behind our dorm, and the president of the seminary said, you know, Fred and Paul, could you not spend your time more profitably at the seminary here? So we kind of put our golf clubs away at that time. But I had professors like Dr. Eric Gritsch, who taught me about Lutheran theology, Dr. Robert Jensen and Bengt Hoffman, who taught me about Lutheran spirituality. J.K. Myers, who taught me the Old Testament. Jacob Heineken, who was a great professor and also made me thirsty. I still have their books. I still love to remember and learn from them. How was the faith nurtured in you? Who kept it going? Who inspired you? Why are you here today, when you could have rolled over in bed and be snoozing in bed? Why are you here? Why? Who influenced you? St. Paul tells us, Timothy, that the gift of faith needs to be rekindled in Timothy. This is something that doesn't happen. It's not a one-shot deal. Martin Luther said you return to your baptism every day. You die and rise with Christ. You die to an old way of life. You rise to the new way of life. You die to the way of the world. You rise to the way of the kingdom of God breaking in through the laying on of hands, he said, to rekindle this. That even though he was young, Timothy, he was not to be timid or cowardly, but to have the spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Do you feel that? Do you feel the Holy Spirit in your life, that power and love and the power to be self-disciplined? You know, when I grew up, we not only had the church family, but we also had a taste of the Judeo-Christian tradition in the school. I mean, we would have time when we'd have a reading from Scripture, and we would have a time of quiet in the Lord's Prayer. Then we would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We had community support. Elwood City, it was not perfect. I didn't really meet too many people that had different colored skins. We were all kind of lily white, but at the same time, it was a community that was a moral community. And I learned, it was helpful that I learned to grow as a Christian, to grow as a citizen. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not idealizing that time. There was a lot of problems back then. There was racism, misogyny, a lot of things going on back then that we still need to work on in the 50s and 60s. We had problems back then too. But there was still a sense of the Judeo-Christian tradition in our society, as imperfect as it was. There was a sense of morality. There was a sense of right and wrong. What was proper and improper speech, what was truth and what was a lie. Now it seems we're in a dangerous spot in our society because that's kind of changing. Even Christianity has been hijacked by groups that try to make it political, a political statement of what they use Jesus to their purposes. We no longer seem to have the societal support for our faith. Rather, things seem to be going in the wrong direction. Our trust in leaders and our institutions is at an all-time low. Commitments at an all-time low. So we need to be proactive as God's people. We need to create those spaces and those times to carve out intentionally when we can rekindle our faith, when we can pray for one another, support one another, where we can read scripture together and nurture each other in the faith, grow in trust that God is love, and to act in that reality of the Christ presence and to be able to center in Christ in all situations. Not to leave the church and to compartmentalize, okay, I was at church Sunday, and all of a sudden here's the real world. No, Christ is the Lord of everything. And to take Christ with you and to be able to be conscious of Christ Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Saturday. That's why we need to continue in our congregation to practice the faith together, to have Carol's Bible study, and they're studying the Gospel of John, a wonderful gospel, 9 o'clock this morning, and the women's Bible, the Bible study on the first Monday of the month, and our contemplative study, that we're learning how to look at scripture and to look at different spiritual masters, and what our experience of that, and all this. Older members need to nurture younger members, just like Paul nurtured Timothy, and Timothy nurtured people after him. The fellowship meals, like we have the first Sunday of the month, and the big celebration we're going to have in 2 weeks, 165th, and we're going to have in Sunday school, November?
Second Sunday.
We're going to have God's Work Our Hands. It's going to be intergenerational. And we're going to work together to make
presents for shut-ins.
For our people that can't be here, our homebound people. I mean, these are beautiful ways. You see, that's how Timothy became a Christian. He observed Christ-centered way of life. He observed a different way of life in his grandmother and his mother and in St. Paul. And he responded to God's call to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to help others. You know, all we have comes from God. All we have is a gift. Larry, your birthday, your years are a gift from God. We all have gifts from God that God's with us. And we are called then to witness to God. That's our call. It comes from the Latin word vocare, vocare, our call, our vocation. Our vocation, no matter what we are, a policeman, a fireman, a farmer, retired, a doctor, a financial advisor, a secretary, an iron worker, the key is to know in your heart that you were nurtured in the faith, and that through what you, your abilities, you share Christ with others. Martin Luther said it so well. He said, faith is a divine work in us which changes us and makes us born anew of God. Oh, it is a busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. Faith is a living, active, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that we, a believer, would stake his or her life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge and confidence in God's grace makes people glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and all creatures. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. That's faith. That's what you have in Jesus Christ. That's the gift, the main gift of the Holy Spirit. Continue, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to be bold and active and daring and love carelessly to everybody, to share that love in Jesus' name. And if you're finding your battery, your faith battery's going low, continue to take the word and sacrament and pray. Tell a fellow brother or sister in Christ who will pray for you. So my brothers and sisters, continue. What we sensed yesterday, what we felt yesterday, continue. Go with the gospel. In Jesus' name, go with the gospel. Have the faith. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.